Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
For more on today's reopening, I'm joined in the studio now by Minister of State with responsibility for sport and the Gaeltacht and Government Chief Whip Jack Chambers. Good morning to you. Thanks
morning,
for coming
Claire.
In. Huge excitement around this morning. You can hear it there in everything we heard so far before you came in. Do you have a difficult job now as government to keep a lid on everything?
I'll just say it was really positive to hear the clips from across the country, across personal services, religious services, retail reopening. I think there is that bit of liberty coming back into society after such long restrictions. I think people really embrace that. And particularly from my perspective as Minister for Sport, to see all our adults being able to get back out training and playing today after such a long period out of training is so positive. Mm-hmm. I think people have been through this for so long now, and it is a phased reopening. So when you take, for example, personal services, it's by appointment. There's an emphasis, obviously, on outdoor, and even when it comes to other areas of reopening, it is quite controlled. And I think people
will it be an honour system though? You know, will it be enforced, or are you expecting people just to manage this themselves?
Well, you mean for generally or
right across the board with all of the measures that you've just outlined there? Will there be enforcement in place, or are you expecting people just to do what they're being asked to do?
Well, I think when you take, say, the 12,000 businesses, the 100,000 people getting back to work, they've had an extraordinary length of time out of work, being able to operate their business in a sporting context. I know all the local clubs and volunteers want to see everyone back training, that buzz of activity down on the ground. And I know when you go down to any local club, for example, you see that wall of yellow of COVID signage and signalling people in certain directions, the same in businesses, the same in churches. And I think we will see overall compliance. If you look at even over the last number of weeks, people are complying with the rules. I know we've seen one-off examples, but I think it's important to recognise that people are adhering to the restrictions. People will embrace this extra bit of liberty. And where we are reopening, it's in a very controlled way.
The numbers today from the HSE show that we're at the lowest level of COVID patients in hospital since last September. Do you think, looking at it now where we are today, that perhaps the 15-person limit on outdoor training for adults, maybe that's too cautious now given where we're at?
Well, it's in pods of 15, and certainly if you take even most teams will work with that, and if it's in pods of 15, so
you could have 45 people
and even pods. If you take the training environment, for example, often for training and drills, and when people are split up into different groups, it's often in a split formula anyway, so I think that's just to protect people and to make sure the safety overall, and that we manage activity on our pitches outdoors. But I think in the context of sport, we're seeing training coming back obviously today, and then on the 7th of June, we'll see competition. So the one difference from, if I know, last October when we allowed underage in pods of 15, there was a lack of competition. That's the feedback we got from the sporting system. So obviously sport is about an element of competition and having a goal, and seeing that on the 7th of June, I think will be embraced by everybody.
There's a bit of pressure coming on, isn't there, around the reintroduction of fans going to games. I have a message here in front of me from Mike, who wants to know from you why fans can't go to the matches if they're already vaccinated. How long more are they going to keep the gates closed? He says it's time to open them because most of the stadiums can hold 20, 30 or 40 or 50,000. Malachy Clerkin in the Irish Times today saying there's a baffling lack of urgency around this.
Just say there's a huge amount of urgency from me, and we're really ambitious and optimistic about getting fans back at games, and I think we're all looking forward to seeing whether it's our county team or our League of Ireland team back and seeing that back. Just to give people a bit of background to this, we had a return to spectators plan that was formulated by last October. I met with Martin Murphy, the chair of that, last week, and they're updating that plan now and the guidelines around it. So for example, taking into account the updated vaccination effect, which has to be incorporated, that could allow for more people in the stands than they had planned for originally.
But lack of urgency right there. They're only updating the plan now. Like Malachy Clerkin outlines how there's 30 games, league games, next weekend, and he says 30 stadiums, 30 chances to see what works and what doesn't work, 30 ways to compare and contrast what works and what doesn't work. There's the chance next weekend.
Well, I think what we want to do is get this right. What we don't want to see is a mass number of people going into a stadium where it's not planned, it's not controlled, and we have a potentially a super spreader event where...
I think the point is, though, that the plan should be in place by now.
Oh, no, well, the plan, like the guidelines are there. So it's a very comprehensive document. And what we're doing is we're updating that to incorporate, for example, antigen testing or PCR. If you take, there was a League Cup game in the UK where they had about 8,000 and 90,000 capacity. So in the previous document, I'll just give people a sense of what we had. Obviously, in the fan journey is very important. So it'll be personalised ticketing. There'll be staggered entry and exit. So this the obviously, when we get a return to spectators, it'll be people may have to arrive at a particular time, so we avoid congregation before and after the game. They'd have to leave a little later. We also we're also trying to ensure that if you take the numbers, for example, in the original document, we had 5% as a starter capacity, which we had 5,000 Croke Park. Then up to a 2 metre distance would allow for about 15,000 in Croke Park. 1 metre distance, about 30,000. So they're the ballpark of capacity. But I think to take the text you wrote in, when you take vaccination,
yeah, that changes that 5%. Surely,
I think it might, and that's they're meeting this week, and they've all the IRFU, GAA, FAI are involved in that group, and we'll move that into government very quickly, and then plan tester events for early July, and if they work, and I think fans will be conscious of making this work, so that we can expand that capacity through the summer. But this is about the phased and cautious reopening, and fans, I'm confident fans will be back this summer. It mightn't happen in the next 2 weeks, but early July isn't that far away.
And okay, I think, so there'll be no test events before then, before July?
The government has agreed to early July is when we'll see fans back.
Yet across the water, they've been at it for weeks, you know?
Well, they haven't been at it for weeks. So the UK, they obviously had the League Cup game, and they're obviously looking, we've two English teams in the Champions League final, and that potentially could move to Wembley as well. But we want to see this happen. We want to see fans back at games. If you look at even our fixtures, for example, we will have League of Ireland games this summer. The All-Ireland series, the league has obviously started. It's great to see the hurling this week, last weekend. We'll see the football back next weekend.
Yeah.
And so look, the All-Ireland Championship and across Gaelic football, ladies football and camogie will be happening through the summer. And I'm confident we'll see spectators back at those games. And that really is the real essence of inter-county competition.
But even when we're watching the snooker on the television, you see everybody sitting side by side with their masks on. You just wonder why we're being so cautious here, given that our vaccination program is ramping up. You know, the good mood that everybody feels today doesn't seem to be matched with the ambition to start running these test events maybe as soon as you can.
Well, we're going to run them, as I said, in July and in early July. I accept people might want to see them a little sooner, but we want to get it right.
Yeah, it's the financial impact, of course, as well on the GAA.
Yeah, and I read that.
To name just one.
Obviously, when you're running test events with a very low capacity, the financial dividend for governing bodies is when they have full capacity,
yeah.
Actually. So even at a reduced capacity, there wouldn't be the same financial dividend. But I think all the governing bodies want to see fans back at games. I do as minister, and we'll do everything we can to accelerate that plan, give an indication early June about what test events we're looking at, and then try and expand capacity then as we accelerate the vaccination programme and get it right. I think that's the key thing. What we don't want to see is rushing into a test event, for example, next weekend, that resulting in a super spreader event. And it's not only the fans at the games, there's the whole transport factor to and from the game.
And whatever happens before
and all of the other factors that are around event planning.
You mentioned antigen testing there, didn't you? This is despite what Neffet said at the weekend about, or just before the weekend, about Lidl selling them in shops. You're in favour of them being used as an element of getting people back to games.
Yeah, and the Ferguson report is clear that they have a role in sport and on the return to spectators. They've referenced, for example, the participants in the games and the use of them there, as well as using them for fans, and so that we can try and run them back. So that's what the expert group at the Return Spectators is trying to, it will integrate some of the Ferguson report's recommendations. And it's clear they have a role. They have a role in sport. I know Minister Harris is looking at that. We want to see our students back on campus as well in the early autumn. I think they'll have a role there. And they'll also have a role for many employers. I think the key thing is that it's done in a controlled environment and that public health are involved. And I absolutely embrace antigen testing. I think they'll have a key role in the return to spectators.
Okay, but just not the ones they're selling in Lidl.
Well, I think the concern that the CMO referenced was that, you know, he didn't want people to have a false sense of assurance when it came to purchasing these tests. And, you know, it's important that we, you know, people can't just get a free pass when it comes to taking an antigen test. But they do have a role. They're being used across Europe. They're being used internationally. They're an important health screening tool. And we need to maximise their use across society in a controlled way and obviously underpinned by the governance. And that's what the Ferguson report references as well.
So separately to COVID, I just want to ask you about funding of men and women's GAA. There's always much debate around the disparity that exists between them. Is now the time to address that?
I think so. If you look at the status quo at the moment is if you're a male player, you get 1,200. If you're a female player, you get 400. And I can't stand over or defend that inequity. And we're in 2021. And I think we've seen this year the GPA and the WGPA merge underpinned by the principle of equality. And I think that principle has to stand when it comes to the funding of our players.
So will the 1,200 reduce so that the 400 can come up?
No. So what I propose on doing is that we have 1,200 for both.
And if you look, so you have to increase the amount of money you're giving.
Absolutely.
Overall.
And I think that's the right thing to do. If you take the levelling the field report from the WGPA last year, and they referenced, for example, the huge difficulty they have around certain expenses. We've seen massive growth in the in ladies football and camogie over the last 20 years. And I think for all of our young women and girls who are playing camogie and ladies football, we need to ensure there's no artificial glass ceiling when it comes to sport. Mm-hmm. And I'm serious about rectifying that. And it's absolutely important that we've parity of esteem and equality of treatment when it comes to funding.
When will that happen?
This year. So I'm going to do that this year. I think incremental progress when there is such inequality on that, I think, isn't enough.
So you currently spend 3.7 million, the government does, in supporting Gaelic Games players. How much will that be now?
So we'll be trebling the amount for on the women's side. It'll go up to about 2.4 million. So there's slightly less inter-county female players. So but there will be equality in terms of the average that what both get, and it'll both equate to 1,200. I think that's the right thing to do. As I said, for any I'm involved in a club myself, which is very much around equality of treatment for both all codes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that any girl that wants to play for their county, that they get that equality of treatment when it comes to state funding. And it's our national game. And I think it will enable us to support the welfare of teams in a greater way and also help players around their expenses.
And that happens from now?
That will happen this year.
Okay. Yeah. On a separate topic, the weekend papers were full of coverage on the housing crisis. Your party colleague, the housing minister, Dara O'Brien, is getting it in the neck, and he's getting it in the neck from your coalition partners in Fine Gael. There's a rift here on this, isn't there?
Well, no. In fact, if you look at Minister O'Brien is working closely with Minister Pascal Donoghue on rectifying this issue. I think I accept there was huge fury and frustration from the public last week at seeing new houses being mopped up by institutional investors, and mm-hmm. we can't see that continue. And there's very close cooperation between all parties and government about dealing with this.
I mean, we saw the parliamentary parties meetings last week where there was discontent in your own party, but then at the Fine Gael party, they were clearly blaming Fianna Fáil and Dara O'Brien for this, then calling him in. Why is he being called into the Fine Gael parliamentary party meeting to explain himself? And why is he doing it?
What the public are interested in, and what the broader and what young families are interested in, is the government addressing this issue head on. We're going to see the biggest house building programme, public house building programme in the history of the state, the biggest investment from the history of the state, and the state playing a key role intervening in the market. That's what Dara O'Brien is serious about. I think any histrionics or drama between parties is of no interest to the public who want to see this issue dealt with mm-hmm. head on. And that's what the government is determined to do.
So that's exactly why he shouldn't go into that Fine Gael parliamentary party meeting, because you know what the leaks will be like. I mean, I see today in the Irish Daily Mail a Fine Gael source saying we won't be pulling in our horns. He is seen, frankly, as a bit of a spoofer. Now, that That'll tell you what's going to happen if he goes into that parliamentary party meeting.
Oh, Dara O'Brien is well able to defend himself, and he's very confident in what he's doing in terms of intervening in the market around affordability measures, around public housing, and he's happy to engage with any party when it comes to
And you think it's the right
measures.
Thing for him to do?
It's a matter for him whether he wants to go in before any party. But the key message for people listening is that the government is moving quickly to address this issue, which I know has infuriated many families. We want to see a threshold of affordability in the market, and also giving young families the opportunity to own their own home, and that's really important when it comes to the current position.
Minister, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much. Thanks, for coming Sarah. In. Minister Jack Chambers.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.